Good afternoon, good morning, boys and girls. Come on in. Turning Point Podcast here with the Assistant Superintendent, Scott Carpenter.
Hey.
Hey, I'm Brett Smith. I'm your host, and we are here with Maddie Koenig. And I tried not to mess that up first thing this morning.
Well done. Yeah,
welcome.
You guys say Dr. Koenig.
Dr. Koenig. Got it.
Spent a lot of years in school to get those two letters.
I like it. Well, I don't, sometimes when I talk to folks with that title in education, sometimes folks are like, nope, don't call me that. Some folks are, yeah, call me that. But we definitely need to acknowledge that. So, Scott, how you holding up this morning, man?
You know, it's a fabulous Friday. Second week of school. We're starting to settle in. It's been great.
Good deal. Maddie, you ready for this?
Yeah. Okay. First podcast. Let's do this.
Okay. Good deal. Well, kind of like we always do here, we are going to just shed some light behind the curtain of education, make it a little real. A lot goes into getting this school stuff off the ground to have a smooth start. And so we're going to talk just with some administrators here about what it really takes to, in July, August, first part of September, to get school off and running. So we're gonna dive into that today. So Dr. Koenig, you are the principal of Greenwood Elementary, and I don't know even know the right question to ask, but what does it take? Actually, let's back up. How'd you become principal at Greenwood? We'll start there. And talk to us about why you want to be there and all the good stuff.
Well, I sort of have a long history at Greenwood. I did my student teaching there.
Oh,
two wonderful teachers that aren't there anymore, but fabulous experience. And then by some miracle got hired with the Grand School District right out of college, which it was kind of a hard time to get a job in education. There was 100 applicants for one position. And then ended up back at Greenwood after my first year teaching and spent about the next decade there. And then stepped out for about 5 years to do another administrative position. And I'm back. I love it. Greenwood's home.
That's awesome. Long, long storied history there. Very cool.
So what year is this for you, Maddie?
I think this is year 16 in education.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Man, how about for you?
This is year 20. This is my
nice
two decade.
Nice round number.
Yeah. And then you start thinking about it, you're like, hey, I'm 10 years away. And then you think, like, how old you'll be in retirement. And you're like, no, I'm not.
There you go.
How about you, Brett?
Yeah, this is 14 in public ed. Did some stuff in some other places before that. But yeah, you're 14.
So. Yeah. Good.
Good deal. All right. Well, Dr. K, what's it take to get a school off the ground? I mean, what's August and July and September look like for you?
Well, it really feels like a sprint to get to that first day of school. We have several weeks before staff are in the building, and it just really feels like a hustle to try to get all the meetings in and make sure the master schedule is fine-tuned and get all of those pieces set up so that you're really ready to have staff in the building, because they only have a few days before kids are in the building. It really feels like every second is filled before kids are in the building. But a lot of time, you know, meeting with our community partners, making sure we've got our plan set up for the school year. That schedule is really important, making sure that we've got all of our positions filled. It's a lot. It's good, though.
Yeah, that's always how I feel is, you know, we come back, elementary principals, typically that first week of August. Scott, you're running like all summer, so we're not going to talk about that. But like you get in there and it's just like you and like your secretary. And it's really in the custodians, and it's like, it's kind of eerie. It's kind of quiet for a little bit. And I always find it like just precious, precious time, because rarely is it just uninterrupted. And it's scheduling, it's hiring, you know, budgets, making sure the supplies are there, making sure the building's clean and working order. Like there's a lot that goes in, and I always arrive in the first week of school like exhausted, like dead, like everybody's kind of like supercharged in that first week, and I'm always like, okay, we did it. Like we're functional. I don't know how you feel, but
district level, it's a little bit different. You spend June essentially cleaning up the school year, so that you're ready to report out how did it go, what were strengths and weaknesses. And you guys do a fantastic job of like getting your buildings, getting all that stuff to the district, and then we compile that. We're running summer school during the summer for credit recovery for high schoolers. July is a little bit of a quiet time because at district office, people are taking like weeks off at different times. But the truth of the matter is every 2 years we hit what's called the biennium, or the end of the long legislative session, where they determine how much funding we get, and they determine what laws, a lot of laws that they're going to pass. Usually there's probably 200 laws on education, and we have from essentially, so the legislative session will end of June, June 27th, June 28th. It takes about 2 weeks for, you know, the legal beagles to compile all the stuff that, like, what do you need to do and adjust for a school? And so mid-July, there's this little bit of, I have a frenetic pace about, like, what do I need to update administrators on at our admin retreat that first week of August about, like, what's going to hit us in the face, you know?
Yeah.
Is it funding? Is it new laws? Like, there's a weird new law out of this legislative session that really doesn't have much of an impact, but it's just a fun little law that says if you did a probationary period as a teacher in a different part of the state of Oregon, and a probationary period for teachers, if you don't know, is 3 years, then, and you move to another district, that probationary period can actually shrink to 2 years. So there's different things that, like, and we haven't even told you guys about that law. We haven't even sort of parsed that out because it wasn't emergent.
Yeah.
But there's other things like the cell phone policy, right? The new executive order on cell phones and different things that we have to get in front of you guys. So there's a mad rush towards the end of July. Funding levels, staffing levels. It's always amazing how many paras and or teachers we're hiring still late in the year. And then getting ready for, you know, schedules or those types of things. So then you hit August, and I'm trying to get you guys geared up into what's new or what we need to do. And it feels like I'm eating half your time just trying to take you guys and make sure everything's ready to go. Feel guilty about that. I'll just be honest about that. But
that's good. I'm glad you feel guilty.
I don't know if there's a way around it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and then we get the same feeling
because
it's been 3 months for me. Yeah. It's like we hit that first day of school, and I'm like, oh, it started.
Yeah.
Because I'll just say, teachers or community expectations, I feel, are high for us to have everything ready to go or organized and a good start to the year.
Yeah, and just like you know, many folks listening are educators, right? Just like having a good start in your classroom, setting the foundation. You know, it's organized. Kids come in. You know, it's like, hey, this is what we do. This is how we do it. It's that with adults, you know, at the building level, and it's got to be ready when they show up. It's hard.
Talk to me, both of you, your elementary principals, about, we've made adjustments about kindergarten, so you have brand new parents entering education, and we're trying to understand, like, how best to organize, do the things we need to for kindergarten so that they have a great start to their educational career. What are some of the things that you've tried or are trying or doing to make sure that those families are taken care of?
I really like what we've done the last 2 years. We haven't assigned students to classes right off the bat. We've done smaller groups of kiddos over the first 2 days, so we had more time to get to know them, do some assessments. But how we start those days is we have parents come in. We can talk to them about the importance of attendance. This is what kindergarten's going to look like. Hopefully ease some of their anxiety about sending their kiddos to school for the first time. But it's gone really well, because then we can assess how kiddos are doing and who they're getting along with, and then do a better job at getting them placed in the classrooms. And then by the end of that first week, we've got them off and rolling. It seems to be really successful this year, probably better than last year, because we've had 2 years to kind of fine tune that process, but it's worked really well at Greenwood.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to echo that. I mean, same for, you know, this is my sixth year at Island City. And for the first four, it was like, we're just making kindergarten list blind, essentially. And so it's been great to meet the families, talk to the families, see the kids, you know, do a bunch of assessments and see them play, see them interact. And then we can get, you know, good class lists that, you know, help support students, support teachers, you know, create a little bit more data-driven decision-making rather than just like, okay, like just, it's just like a blind draft. It's like, here we go.
Yeah.
So it just mirrors kind of what we do for first through fifth, and it was super helpful, I think, just ease them in.
Talk about that. You mentioned first through fifth. You know, I think for most of our listeners, how did I get that teacher, right?
Yeah.
How did I get, you know, how are class lists made? They come up to your windows on Friday before school, and they're looking at the window going, what?
Yeah.
And there's some feelings associated with that. How do we in elementary make classless?
Yeah, this last year I had the teachers go through by grade level and really look at how their classes sat this year. Do we have kiddos that we need to move apart? Which ones worked really well together? Because we know certain pairings, it's a success story of just having a good buddy there for motivation. And then we look at balancing classes as far as academic needs, behavioral needs. And then we also look at like teacher skills and personalities and really try to make the best class lists on all of those different dynamics and make sure that they're balanced. So we don't have one class that maybe has a larger area of need than others. And the teachers had a lot of input into it this year. And I think that's been really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, similar process for us. You know, we come together. It's kind of our final data meeting of the year to close out the year, and we have that grade level teachers there, two. You know, I know both of our buildings, but and then we have our specialists there, special education teachers. We have reading title specialists that have worked with the student on, you know, any kind of academic intervention, and we do the same. You know, trying to balance it as best we can. Numbers. You know, academic level behaviors, you know, boys and girls, if we can do that, you know, friends, you know, foes, if there be any, right? You know, who needs to be together, who needs to be apart. And, you know, it's not, you know, for those listening, it's not an exact science all the time. You know, you get move-ins and it throws, you know, throws dynamics off a bit, but it gives us a good semblance of like, hey, this is the best list. And the question I like to ask teachers, like, because they know the kids at that point in the year, they know, right? And I'm like, how would you feel getting that list or that class come to you with what you know now? And yeah, most of the time we walk out of there like, that's really good.
Yeah,
that feels that right. Feels really good.
And there's portions of that that are blind. Mm-hmm. So you're looking just at like a description of this kid or their need, specific needs without names, so mm-hmm. that you can remove bias in phases of that, and then towards the end being able to really get down to personalities.
There's a humanity to it too, definitely. But yeah, I'd say class lists are a hot topic in elementary, and you know, we get requests and things like that, and I kind of tell families like, hey, your kid's going to be well taken care of, right? We've accounted for as many factors as we can, and so trust the good people here for sure. Got a lot of people doing good things
at the high school level, because we don't have the high school here. Every March, so in January we create the curriculum guide. In March, students register for classes, so they give us what they want to take, essentially, mm-hmm. what they have to take to get towards graduation. We do different processes to go through what are called singleton, doubletons, and multiple section classes to sort of do a preliminary schedule. And then we put it into an algorithm. We put it into the AI. And the purpose of that AI is to get rid of the most conflicts. And sometimes that's impossible. So when you talk about singleton classes, you're talking about AP bio, you're talking about physics, you're talking about a cappella choir and all those, and you're trying to get schedules where a kid can take the most number of classes that they requested. So a cappella choir is always fifth period because it's the largest singleton that we have, and then that drives like where is AP bio, where's physics, all those. And so then we release those schedules in August back to kids, and I'll just say the algorithm, we get it right, like we'll get it right 92% of the time, what they requested. And then students find out about their friends and where they're going. Mm-hmm. And we get a lot of requests for schedule adjustments because of those factors, not because of what they signed up for in March. But we really can't meet all those requests because the schedule is built on trying to get the most kids what they wanted or needed for graduation. So it's an interesting process. The high school does that. And really tries to meet the needs of kids going towards graduation. It's not sort of similar to elementary at all in terms of balancing classes with a single teacher. It's more about getting the courses they need for graduation or a CT pathway or.
Yeah.
And that's a fun process. That was one of the funnest things I ever did as an assistant principal.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, we always dive into like kind of that something that's difficult or a challenge, and we always try to keep it positive, but there are challenges. And so what would Dr. Kate, what would you say is one of a big challenge for you getting a school up and running and off the ground?
Honestly, I think the schedule is the hardest thing. Just trying to make sure that every teacher has their prep, every para has their breaks and their lunch, and we've got, you know, our cafeteria staff to consider, and our music teacher isn't full-time, it's 0.7, and so trying to make those hours work, and just the different dynamics, and we've got a master schedule spreadsheet that's actually like 8 spreadsheets to try to make it work. So it's just a lot of time, and I just told my staff at the beginning of the year, I'm like, I spent 3 days on this. I'm not going to be offended. I know there's errors, so please find them. Yeah. Like if it's off by 5 minutes somewhere, or I skipped a prep, which I did because I have.
Good job violating the CBA.
But I have 2 Gregories and 2 Webs in my school right now, which I love. Mm-hmm. But I put just Gregory for one of the prep times. I didn't say if it was our 2nd grade or our 4th grade. So just some of those like minute details of a schedule, just it hurts my brain sometimes. Yeah. That's probably one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah, for sure.
What about for you, Brett?
Yeah, I'd say twofold. Like the schedule is like the thing that takes the most time. Power to you if you did 3 days on it. Like I swear I work in like hour increments, and then I have to like go on a power walk through the building. I'm like, I can't, it's gonna make my brain explode. I would agree on the 8 spreadsheets. It's like multiple tabs, and you've got the lunch schedule, and you've got the like individual classified schedule, and the master and the intervention, like all the things. I tried to shove it all into one a couple of times, and it's just too much to look at. Yeah, so you got to break it down really simply. Yeah. So that one. And then I would say the other hardest part is kind of dealing with the short timeline with staff back, right? Like yeah. I think that if I had, you know, if I was, you know, king for a day or whatever, like I would wave some sort of magic wand to be able to have, you know, a week or, you know, however much time with paras and teachers, and to be able to like lay that groundwork. It feels those 3 days leading up to, it's tough to get everything done in a cohesive way. So day one's like smooth.
Well, and for our community, just so that you know, the week before school goes something like this. Monday, teachers are off contract, but we have our brand new staff mm-hmm. who are new to teaching, doing a program called Grow to help mentor them and get them prepped. The next day, Tuesday, which is still a non-contract day, is our new staff orientation, where we bring in classified, certified, everyone who's new to our district that day, and have a great day with them. They probably get information overload within the first hour. Mm-hmm. Poor people. Then Wednesday is our only district like meeting day. So we have in the morning the district, what we call the district rah-rah mm-hmm. or district kickoff event. And in the afternoon is, you know, your staff meeting, longest staff meeting of the year. And then by contract, Thursday and Friday are supposed to be just teacher work days in their room, meeting free, no anything like that. So, you know, we have administrators just popping into rooms going, are you okay? Oh, and by the way, you know. But there's no meetings. So you really get 3 hours in a week for you guys to be with your teachers and
yeah.
and get the year off kicked off, because the next Monday kids are coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one trick that I've learned is like I've got a budget for like controllable sub. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of conversations with our para staff about coming in those days, and you know, we're paying people that aren't on contract and stuff like that. And that's been a game changer to get folks in and get off the ground. But I'd say that's the challenge.
Yeah.
Want to always talk about the fun though. Anything that like, you're like, man, I really like that. Like, that's awesome. Kind of gives you some juice in your legs.
Well, we just have really good energy overall at Greenwood. Like, everyone is really passionate about these little different things. Like, our staff wellness group, they just met yesterday. We've got 5 people on the committee. I don't even know what they're going to come up with, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Because last year we did like a lot of snacks and like, you know, just lunch together. And, but this group is like, we're going to play dodgeball. We're going to like, they want to spend time together. Yeah, so we just have really good energy with our staff. And I know our students feel it too. Like they know when their teachers are having a good time in the building. Yeah. So that's probably number one for me this year is like just good culture and having fun and enjoying education.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, I think I really enjoy when everybody comes, like, that first staff meeting back. I really enjoy that. Like, it's like everybody's here. It's like the calm before the storm. Everybody's, like, fresh and excited and optimistic and hopeful, right? Like, it's like that Christmas morning feel. Like, it's like everybody's like, it's going to be good. Right. Yeah. And so we've got a really great staff and I just love that meeting because it's like the one time you're there and everyone's refreshed and like pure and like ready to go. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah.
No, it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Because every other meeting in the district is you're either shortchanging something else because you have a sub in your classroom or you just came from something stressful. You're going into something like, that meeting is totally different.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I think that's the highlight, and I get pretty jazzed up. And my wife is like, okay, good luck today. And I just, like, go into, like, a tunnel and come out. And I'm like, yeah, this is awesome.
You know?
So that's the try to infuse good energy into the end of the year, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's great.
How about you, for you, Scott? Any, like, big highlight? I know we skipped over your hard, but I don't want to get into that.
You don't want to get into my hard.
Yeah.
But my highlight, I think this year, you know, I just really tried to be intentional about, like, I knew you were going to show up with your maroon stuff at the district rah-rah stuff and your whole tribe, you know, the whole school was like,
yeah, we're ready.
I knew the orange was going to come out over here and the red over here and people were going to do their thing. And so, you know, trying to keep my stuff simple and to the heart of education in terms of you're a superhero to the kids who worship the ground you walk on. Even if today's a bad day over the course of the year, they will always say you're their third grade teacher and they loved you, right? And so being able to speak to the heart of that was fun. It gave a different spin. Sometimes I get this idea, you know, I'm the district analyst or the number or whatever, but that was fun to be able to develop that. And then to be able to take you guys to H.D. Waddell, who I just see as a fantastic coach for admin, and to be able for us to be together in the van and go and be together and talk about what really matters. That was fun for me this summer versus just talking nuts and bolts and laws.
Yeah.
Those types of things. So.
Yeah, a lot of that time together, I think all three of us talked about like being together with people. And I think, you know, it really creates awesome workplaces and atmospheres when you can pull that off.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think honestly, one of my core memories is all of us climbing in the van and then at the end of the day, Scott taking us to McDonald's to get treats. I mean, I love things like that. I don't care. I'm an adult. Yes, yeah. I'll take an ice cream.
Who's getting an ice cream cone, admin?
It's good stuff. Good stuff. All right. I love it. All right. Well, we usually close this up with some sort of like acronym, and we didn't really plan this out.
I'm just going to take a moment of gratitude rather than an acronym.
Okay, yeah.
I will just say one of the happy surprises. Mm. I was very concerned about the cell phone executive order, knowing that teenagers, parents, like it's the world we operate in, is to be on our phone. And the governor, for real reasons about mental health and suicidality, and if you look at the numbers, they're really bad. For teenagers, for real reasons, said at school, we got to focus on learning and we got to like give ourselves times away from these devices to have better positive mental health. Was concerned about that impact at the high school because we got lunch, we got passing periods, we got all sorts of things. And I will just say, high school staff, thank you for being on the front end of that. Our students have done a fantastic job. Parents have done a fantastic job of getting behind that. Haven't heard what I thought I would hear in terms of being upset about that rule or the why. Overall have just seen great understanding and willingness to comply with that. So just more than anything, thank you. Thank you for being with us in that. as we navigate that new law or new requirement for schools.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Good deal. Well, I think it's time we wrap this thing up. So we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you guys, Dr. K, Mr. Carpenter. Thanks for being here and chatting. And here's to a good 25-26 school year.
Hoorah.
Here we go.
All right.